Can you believe that the time has finally arrived, that Brittany has finally written her book?
I know, her own memoir. I've been so excited, and she's been teasing us for so long, and like with all the delays, and now it's finally here. I finished that in like 3 hours. It came out at 7 a.m. my time, and I finished it by like 10.
I finished it really fast. I listened to everything on double speed, and so once you made it clear to me that like, girl, it's available on Apple, like you can listen to it now, I listened to it immediately. Normally I read things first, but it was awesome that the audio was available and that's just what was there first. So, and yeah, I can't believe it. And like teasing us, she's been teasing us since For the Record, really, that one day she'd write a mysterious book. And well, I don't find it mysterious. I think it's quite clear cut. It's finally here. I can't believe it.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm very happy with the book. I love it. I think she's really funny. I think she's really dark. And I like that she kind of went over like a journey of her life. It wasn't centered around one topic.
Yeah, I love the book. I think it's so poignant. And I thought that, you know, when we first heard that it was going to be like under 300 pages, I kind of was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, that seems so short for everything that Brittany's done. But I think she really did kind of go over everything that really was important. Brittany could write books upon books upon books about just like one music video, honestly. But it's incredible that she was able to condense so much in this little book, kind of representative of her, right? Like, as she says, like, she's got all this power and you know, talent and all this in this little body. But
yeah,
it's amazing.
I'm not sure it's little, though. The physical copy is huge, so maybe that's the reason the pages lessened. Or maybe it's the shortage in paper catastrophe. I don't know. But the book is selling millions, apparently. We don't have official numbers yet, but it's doing really well. And, like, people at my work are reading it, you know? Like, people I would have never imagined would read a Brittany book are reading it, you know? Everyone wants to know her mm-hmm. story from her perspective, you know?
You know, it's about the same size and length as Pamela Anderson's book. It reminded me of like when I picked it up, like how it feels. It's similar. Yeah, everyone's reading this book. It's going to be interesting what the actual numbers are. I know, you know, it's being said that it's the best-selling celebrity memoir of all time. I don't know if that's official yet, though. Has she passed Prince Harry?
I just want her to pass Prince Harry, honestly. I just want that little achievement.
Well, we all want that, but has it happened yet? That's, you know,
wait and
it
see. Will.
Let's make it happen. Wait and see. Okay, so you brought up an interesting point, though. I haven't received my pre-order yet, and you haven't either, right?
Yeah, I'm receiving mine November 8th, and I'm ordering outside of the U.S. I also ordered the audiobook CD as well, and Amazon just emailed me telling me that that's kind of on hold for now until they have more copies because apparently it's sold out. And I don't get it. Like, what's the point of me pre-ordering if I don't get, like, you know, priority or something?
That's the point of pre-order, is so that they understand how many that is needed on just a basic level. And everyone who pre-orders is supposed to have priority. Yeah, I mean, I pre-ordered it from Brittany. It was supposed to arrive the day of. It hasn't yet for me. So I went to Barnes & Noble right away in the morning because I also knew my mail route. I don't get stuff until the evening anyways. And I wasn't going to wait.
yeah. I was on the phone with you. You were running, like, getting into the store to get the book. And you told me you told me a really funny story. Do you want to share that?
Oh, God. I was so rude to the lady at the checkout, like, unintentionally.
Unintentionally, yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I, like, kind of skip into Barnes & Noble needing this book. And I was upset because the closest Barnes & Noble to me is Mall of America. And so it's a big Barnes & Noble. It's Mall of America. It's the biggest mall in the United States. And it just happens that that's literally the closest bookstore to me, which was kind of annoying. But anyway, so I went there to go get it. And I thought that there would be kind of like, maybe not a huge thing, but a little display of some sort for Brittany's book. Because I had seen like in other bookstores and stuff, people had done that. And Mall of America will do stuff like that. But There was nothing. Girl, I had to kind of look for her book. Like, I had to walk a little bit to go find it.
Not okay.
It took me almost a minute to find it. I will say it was next to Dolly Parton's book, which I loved. It was really cute. But yeah, and her book is really big, like size-wise, of course. Anyways, I love a size queen. Anyways, I grab the book and I go to check out, and the lady says to me, like, oh, this is a really popular book today. And she says it kind of like she's unaware that it's release day. And I bit my tongue.
Why isn't it front and center if they're aware that it's so popular?
Yeah, it kind of annoyed me because I wanted to be like, hello, it's release day of Britney's book. She hasn't had a book her entire career. This is a big deal. You see it selling. Why is your display? But anyways, I just was like, yep, yeah, it's really exciting that she's releasing this book. I pre-ordered it, but it hasn't arrived yet. I needed it now. And she, of course, looks at me like, what's wrong with you? She doesn't get it. It's fine. But then she's like, oh, where did you pre-order it from us? And I think she was kind of like trying to be like being like, oh, like something went wrong. Like you should have received it. You know, like she's genuinely just being like a good employee. And like, what does she care about Britney's book being released? She's incorrect in not caring about it, but I understand. Anyways, like she's like, did you pre-order it from us? And I go, girl, this is embarrassing. No, I ordered it from her. Like I know her, you know, and so this woman's...
I love like, that. Like, it's very like Radiance commercial. I choose my own destiny. I pre-ordered it from her.
I feel so bad. And I just like, you know what? The lady probably had a story of like, this nutcase came in today and like, she thinks she ordered the book from Britney and you know, whatever. But I did order it from Britney, but it has not arrived yet. And you brought up an interesting theory of, is this intentional so that everyone buys extra copies?
Strategy. Yeah. I saw some discourse on Twitter of like, is this intentional? Is it a strategy or whatever? But like, yeah, either way, the book should have been front and center, especially at the Mall of America. I would have just went there and said, good morning, Mall of America. Where's the book? Yeah, so in this episode, we're doing first impressions, not really like a full-on review yet. We're going to do that in the future. So I'm going to ask you first, what stood out to you the most? Like if you had to pick one thing as of now, maybe that'll change later once you delve into the book more, but like what stood out to you right now, like in the book?
I think what stood out to me, it's not really something that is a new thing, that it's something we've always known about Britney, is just how empathetic she is, like or empathic she is, and how much she feels like she feels connected to people's energy, and that she's always been clear about that. But I think that really stood out to me is she flat out said, like, I can feel someone from like another state, or I feel like I can feel them across the world. You know, that really stood out to me because that was something that throughout the Free Britney movement was something us fans kept saying, that we can feel her. We can feel her. We can feel, and we knew that how that sounds. We know how that sounds. And like even Britney in the book says, like, I know it sounds, I'm not trying to get all new agey, you know. She's like, but this, it just is what it is. Like I feel connected. And I think that just really stood out to me because it was being a part of that and feeling like connected with that and feeling like something was wrong and that we needed to take action. It was just so amazing to hear in her own words that like she could feel us. And you know, she said that before in the Instagram captions and whatnot of like, I know you feel my heart and I feel yours too. Oh my gosh, still gets me. But yeah, just like having it be reiterated in the book and just acknowledging like, you know, thank you so much for everyone. It meant everything to me. That's, I think, what really stands out.
Yeah, I love that. She said something along the lines of, I'm just paraphrasing here, along the lines of the fans didn't really have much information. They didn't really know what was going on, but they sensed that something was wrong, especially when she was at the facility. And I feel like I really needed to hear that because like post Free Britney, like 2 years later, post termination, I feel like when I reflect on this, especially with locals or with people around me, like my personal friends, I realized that to them, I started to sound like Ashley O, Black Mirror episode. Like, this happened, you know, this is the kind of research we pumped out. This is the information that we have, you know, uncovered, and all the campaigning against Sam Ingham, Lou Taylor, and all of these people that are mentioned in the books that people, some people are reading about this for the first time now. It just comes off a certain way, and I can sense the judgment a little bit. So her, like, saying that and acknowledging it, it's just like, see, you know, this actually happened. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, it's like even in her memoir, she's taking time to validate the fans. Because, like, I mean, if anyone knows how it feels to not be believed and to just be felt like you're a joke, it's definitely her.
Yeah. For me right now, the most part that stood out to me that I'm very intrigued with is when she talked about Emma Jean. I mean, she looks like her. I looked her up, mm-hmm. and she looks like Britney, Mickey Mouse Club era. Similar, very similar. But also, like, her family were kind of comparing Britney to Emma Jean in a very, like, stigmatic way, in a very, like, judgmental, ableist way. Sort of like, oh, you both have the same type of crazy mm-hmm. kind of thing. And I just love that Britney was unfazed by that, and she just felt a genuine connection to her, and was very, you know, curious about her and her life. I just found that really interesting. I loved it.
You know, another part I really liked was how she says she feels that her grandfather, June, her father's father, who was very abusive, she says that she's felt him since, or that he's, like, come to her and, like, apologized to her for how he was to her father, and understanding that because that started an abusive cycle, that, you know, it caused, you know, not to take away any of the accountability, because trauma doesn't excuse abuse, but, like, it's like he understands that he was part of that, and he's apologized to it. And I feel like that's just, I'm so glad that she could have that, like, connection, even from the other side, because that is really a lot of generational healing that really needs to happen. Yeah, I loved that part. I think I'm really glad she shared that with us, because, you know, Britney sometimes, and something I've always really respected about Britney is how sometimes she just gets into this, like, no, I'm not telling you this. I'm not doing that. That's no one's business. This is such a beautiful personal moment. I feel really honored that she shared that. And I think that's, it's also just part of that, again, that connection of feeling, like, connected to something otherworldly. I love that. I love that she went there.
Yeah, so she talked about her family a lot in the beginning. A lot of the stuff, like, us hardcore fans know, but also I just loved hearing it from her perspective. And, like, when she talked about Lynn Spears, I felt like it must have been really confusing being Lynn Spears' child, because on one hand, she's taking you to the bar at age 13 and drinking with you, but then when they were driving in the car that one time, she smelled a cigarette on Britney, and she grabbed her hand off the wheel and pulled it to smell it to find out if Britney was smoking. And it caused a car accident, and that literally could have ended both of their lives, you know? So I just, like, find that recklessness really distressing to grow up around, you know?
It's really inconsistent. Yeah, it would be so confusing. And I think that confusion continues, because then it's like there's a point in the book where she's like, she went out, like, one time, you know, and then everyone was acting as if she did something so bad. And she just was, like, the whole time being like, why is everyone acting like I committed this huge crime? All I did was go out. And, like, that wouldn't make sense just in general for people to react that way. But especially when, yeah, like, your mother's allowing you to drink with her from age 13. Yeah, like, it doesn't really make sense. Like, that is so confusing.
Yeah, and like, Brittany talked about how she felt like as a child she didn't really understood the critics and what she was supposed to be doing to make people happy. She was a teenager and she was from the South, really young. And she said something really interesting to me. She said, "Why did everyone treat me, even when I was a teenager, like I was dangerous?"
I loved
And I'm just
that.
like, that, yeah, that's literally, the vilification of women, the witch hunt, like it's very typical.
It's interesting how, yeah, she says that, like, why did everyone treat me like I was dangerous? And it shows an insight of how everyone else saw how powerful she was, but she still wasn't quite connected and tapped into that. Something I found interesting in the book is, how much she talked about how she loves her brother Brian and how close she was to her brother Brian, to the point of like she literally
Oh,
like
yeah.
slept in the same room with him until she was like 12. Like she just loved her brother Brian. And it makes sense because her and Jamie Lynn are so much, there's such an age gap. So she actually like grew up with Brian, whereas like Jamie Lynn's definitely the baby sister. But the There's a very clear juxtaposition between how she talks about Brian and how she talks about Jamie Lynn.
I mean, do we blame her? I grew up watching Britney being so nurturing to Jamie Lynn. Like, I remember in the Dream Within a Dream Tour DVD, there was like backstage footage of her bringing Jamie Lynn to on set or like on tour with her and, just making her feel so welcome. And we know that story with the Zoey 101 set where she went there and defended her sister, So it's really, disheartening seeing things unfold like that. And honestly, the way Jamie Lynn has been behaving towards Britney and the things she's done and like her complicity in the conservatorship, not just her silence, like her complicity in it, is just so unbecoming, So I don't blame her.
Unbecoming, how proper of you. Girl's a bitch. Even Britney says so. Okay, so oh my God, I went to Crossroads the day before the book came out, which, by the way, I've always liked Crossroads, but it was even better than I remembered it. I hadn't seen it in so long, but it's really good. And girl, it goes there, it's deep. Like I did not remember some of these themes that are in there. I think they would actually the movie would be super controversial if it came out now, which is interesting. But anyways, I forgot that Jamie Lynn played younger Brittany or young Lucy in the movie, like for that when they show the little girls when they're little. And so anyways, when Jamie Lynn came on the screen, literally like three of us in the theater booed at her.
Oh my God.
And
Oh my God,
everyone
that's so
laughed.
funny.
It was such a fun experience going to that movie in the theater. It was such like everyone there was on the same level. Like we were all with the vibe. Like we didn't take it too like we weren't too uptight about it. Like everyone was kind of chit-chatting and making their commentary, but yet in like a respectful way. And like, yeah, we all booed with Jamie Lynn. It was so funny.
I wonder if she got any royalties from this fan event.
Oh my gosh. Stop. Don't even say that. We can't. Don't give
She's been
them another thing.
working really hard. I know. I mean, they were gonna get into it at some point, the fans, they were gonna get into it, let's be real. I like how she went in depth on her rebellion during the conservatorship and specifically during Las Vegas. I've been to the Vegas show enough times to have witnessed each year. So I've seen all the eras, like when it started with the wigs, and we know the story about the wigs, and towards the end when Glory came out and the show was kind of revamped and she was feeling it, so it was interesting, reading her inner thoughts of like what was happening at the time during the show. She talked about how she was intentionally not doing any like hair choreography in the beginning because she hated the wigs. She didn't like what they were doing in the production or whatever. And that's kind of It made me a little sad because it's kind of like she had to kill her career, so to speak, to, kill the oppressor, and, mess with their profit or whatever. Like, I hate that she was in a position where she had to do that. And when she talked about the Onyx Hotel tour, she didn't like that tour, apparently. And when she talked about the, wanting to, she was basically hoping that she would break her leg. And she kind of manifested it. And then that happened during the outrageous filming, music video filming. And she had to cancel the tour, It seems like the only shows she really enjoyed and felt like she was in charge of were Oops, I Did It Again and Dream Within a Dream.
I think she would have liked Onyx or had it been done differently, but she just like was not over the breakup with Justin. She just like wasn't ready to be working or doing anything. And like she even says that it was kind of like a response to him and like overly sexual. It's just like once you start making moves like that as a like a clapback, and rather than like your own like compass, it's of course you're not going to connect with it or like it.
Right. And you're not going to remember it in such a positive light, you know?
Yeah. You know what's interesting too is, with Onyx, especially after Justin, like that severed a lot of her connections in the industry, or at least some of like the people wanting to work with her. Whereas Dream Within a Dream, like everyone wanted to work with her with that. And she's really like credits a lot of the people who worked with her as like she felt that they all really respected her and wanted to make her that pop star, rock star artist. Like they understood like her and how the legend and respect she deserved of it. And it shows for that tour. It really does. The outfits alone, honestly.
Yeah. But we know who contributed massively in ruining her connections and her reputation in the industry and in the general public. Someone who heavily profited off of shaming her and bragging about her and,
Are we ready to talk about him? Because that's another thing that really stood out to me in this book.
Yeah.
I'm hot,
Listen,
girl.
I'm glad it was used. I'm glad it was used as like a talking point to promote the book, because we know all the girls are, excited to know more about that whole thing, because it was such a cultural time capsule, I feel.
I thought I hated him. I hate him so
But
much more. I hate him so much more. Like, and I already hated him so much. It's really clear. It's really, really clear that Brittany still loves him and will forever love him. And I don't judge her for that. That's just how love works sometimes. I'm hesitant to even say the word love, though, because it's also really Brittany loved him. Brittany loved him. So actually, that how he was doesn't take away her feelings. I think she just when you love someone that much and you just like it's never gonna fully go away. You part of you like cannot admit or handle the idea that this person would intentionally try to hurt you. Because there are some quotes in the book of just saying, like, I don't think Justin realized the power he had on shaming me. I don't think he understands it to this day. I disagree. A lot. And I think
Yeah,
that
me too.
I disagree a lot. And that's for Brittany to feel and to hold on to or whatever, like I get it. But I wasn't in love with the bastard. And I'm just gonna call it what it is. Like, that man clearly abused her. He clearly abused her mentally and emotionally because some of the things that she is saying, it just is so clear that, like, it's like defense mechanisms of like trying to protect, like, the reality of like how deeply he hurt her. The fact that she, at some point, because how badly he was to her publicly, and he publicly humiliated her, he did. And that was a choice that he did. He fully understood what he was doing. And I think this idea of acting as if men don't know better, oh, if only they understood how much they were hurting me, they would stop this. They always understand. They always understand. But men don't care about disappointing or hurting people. They only care about consequences. And Justin Timberlake exactly. has never gotten any consequence for how he has treated Britney Spears. Yep. And he never will. All the backlash that he's getting from this, and Janet, yeah. All the quote-unquote mm-hmm. backlash or little discussions that happen online or just like, wow, what a bad guy. That's nothing. That's not a consequence. It is literally nothing. It doesn't amount
to anything. He's still with like the Trolls movie, signing deals and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll be fine forever. And that's why he'll never actually learn what he did to Britney Spears. And it just disgusts me. It disgusts me that he made her feel that she deserved it. And that's how I know he really abused her. Because her feeling that she deserved it, that she believed it, that she was a bad person. Maybe I do. That maybe all of this is true. Maybe this is my bad karma. I am so sick of hearing women who have been abused thinking it's their bad karma. Because that's the telltale sign that it's abuse, right? Thinking you deserved it. No one deserves that. No one deserves to be publicly humiliated like that. It's disgusting. And I know that I just kind of went off a little bit there. But like it, again, this is Britney's, how she's always going to love him. You know, and that's for her. But like, I don't love him. And he was bad. And he's still bad. And I just hate that this type of stuff gets replicated in so many relationships. Far beyond celebrity relationships.
Yeah, for sure. And like some people are saying, oh, maybe he was too young to understand the power he had. I challenge that because as someone who was socialized as a man around other men and boys, I've seen them at a young age when I was young completely acknowledge that power they have. When they, the way they talk about girls, specifically girls that they date, no, little boys are made aware of their power at a very young age. And I would also say are taught to abuse that power because they're praised when they do something that's so manly. Yeah, I just feel like, I hope Britney knows that, like, no girl, he knew what he was doing. He knew the power he had. And he knew he was going to get away with it. And he got away with it twice, with Britney and Janet.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with both of those women, he humiliated them sexually, which is also a very clear choice and shows exactly he knows what he's doing.
People are, like, fixating on the cheating. Oh, well, this whole time we thought Britney was the cheater. It turns out he cheated multiple times before, so whatever. Like, I don't care about cheating, especially
no.
at that young age, with that kind mm-hmm. of, like, fame and power and money and access.
Right.
When you're that young, this shit is going to happen, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My issue with him is the chronological order of events, how things unfolded leading up to Cry Me a River.
Mm-hmm.
First, they were dating. They were in love.
They've known each other since they were children. His family feels like family to her.
He cheated multiple times. And then she cheated and they decided to just move past it and stay together. Fair. I'm not against it. Mm-hmm. She gets pregnant. He coerces her to get an abortion, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And then slut shames her and brags about, quote unquote, hitting it. And then releases a song called Cry Me a River, humiliating her even further and hiring an actress that looks like her, dresses like her. In the video. And it's like, okay, well, how shittier can you get? This is just, and I think that like it all went downhill from there, you know?
Of course. And I know Britney herself has said that she doesn't care that Justin publicly said that he had sex with her because she felt it was him like acknowledging that she was a woman. I'm glad she feels that way about it. But the impact of him saying that went far beyond just Britney, and that's not the cultural impact it had at all. It was about a man sleeping with a woman in a conquest way. it was nowhere in his talk about sleeping with her. Was he like, you know, of course we slept together. We loved each other and I really cared for her. He didn't even have to say that. He could have just been like, we really loved each other and I enjoyed my time with her. Everyone would have understood they had sex. We all knew they had sex. But that's not what he said, is it? He went around talking about how he hit it. Yeah, he did it. It was disgusting. This is not how you speak about someone that deeply loved you. And, you know, that type of, I was a teenager when that happened. And that type of, you know, we didn't have podcasts back then. To have toxic masculinity just spewed everywhere, and you can find which genre of toxic masculinity do you want? Let's pick a podcast.
Right.
But instead, it was a lot more concentrated in just like these examples, and this was a huge moment. I really remember the day after this of how the boys were at school. It was like they had hit it with all of us, right? It was almost like they had all hit it with Brittany too.
Oh my God!
Right.
Oh,
and that's just how it was. You know, it had nothing to do with Brittany being a woman. It had to do with, yeah, I hit it. And he's disgusting. This is disgusting. This is abuse. And
it had nothing to do with her being a woman. It had to do with her power and him, you know, mm-hmm. attempting to rob her from her power. Because Justin was aware, like, Brittany, you know, is kind of similar cultural impact to Princess Diana, Cher, Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that's going to get replicated just because of the way the world changed and how media changed, how consumption changed. We're not ever going to get another. Like, Britney's just the last of them, I think. And he was aware of that power she had and he wanted to one-up her and, you know, profit off of her pain, her money, her suffering, everything.
Mm-hmm. I think women also need to start really more acknowledging how much of a status symbol they are and how much power men get from being with us. That's why they need wives.
Yeah.
Who is Justin Timberlake without the beautiful women that he has slept with? Some loser. Giving really bad AAVE and just being an embarrassment, like complete embarrassment. That's what he is.
Oh my God, she totally called that out with him and NSYNC.
Oh my God, how he met Genuine on the street.
Yeah, and like NSYNC being the, what did she call them? The hip group that tried to align themselves with hip hop and rap, whereas Backstreet Boys were just their white selves. They were not trying to, you know?
Yeah, let's gloss over that part. You know who may be more pathetic than Justin Timberlake, though? I don't know.
Who? Sam Ingham?
K-Fed.
K-Fed, okay.
Well, yeah, Sam Ingham, but K-Fed, girl. Because, I mean, like, so many of the stories that she said with K-Fed, we've heard that he's just awful and how he literally, like, held the children hostage to keep away from her, to, like, drive her crazy. Like, that's what happened. And is a really common tactic that a lot of men will do in custody battles of withholding the children and just, like, making the mothers just, like, so upset that it's like, oh, look at her, she's crazy. This is definitely something that goes beyond Brittany. But one of the most pathetic stories that she told about Kevin Federline was him coming home that one night from a party and like telling her that like, oh, I saw Justin Timberlake and Lindsay Lohan. And her being like, oh my God, you know, like, do you think I care? Like, do you think, you know, do you have any idea what I've gone through with Justin and like how many parties I've been to like that? So pathetic of him to get like impressed by seeing Justin Timberlake. And honestly, what a cuck.
For real.
For real. Like, imagine being impressed to see the guy that broke your girl's heart. And like the fact that Brittany hadn't felt comfortable telling him all the things that she went through with Justin, I think is really telling.
Of course. Yeah, that's a red flag right there that she couldn't share this stuff with him. So like another thing I also really enjoyed reading is like her reflection on her artistry and her music and the songs she liked and the tours she liked. And I just love that how much she praised Blackout, because that was, I feel like that's truly like the quintessential Britney album. It's not my number one favorite, but I'm my own person and I have my own taste and my own experience with music and my own memories or whatever. But like, I acknowledge that like sonically Blackout is truly her best production. She says something about how she feels like she peaked with Hot as Ice, like vocally.
She said she went the highest she's ever gone with Hot as Ice. Yeah. I love that song. I love that she mentioned that song. You know, I love her reflections on Blackout, because she even says, she's like, you know, I may, like, she does not like Gimme More. And she's like, that was just a total mess, which I love that she said that. But she's like, I just...
The video, yeah.
Yeah, let's just take the video. Yeah, she's like, but it also kind of fit with it. And I just was taking risk and I was just doing things my own way. And she's like, the more I did that, the more interesting people wanted to work with me. And I think that was key, right? Like, as much as it was such a hard time during Blackout, and it's just so sad that, like, she had to, like, have that hard time with it, she really... attracted so many creative people, and something really beautiful came out of it. And I don't know, man, it's like the feminine urge to turn your pain into beauty.
She was working with really amazing artists and producers during Blackout. Like, she had Danger, Robin, Carrie Hilson, Bloodshy and Avant, and many others. I feel like, yeah, you're right. Like, she really... Everyone wanted to work with her, and she worked with the best people, and like the album was just, you know, her best. I also love how she praised Glory so much. And honestly, if that's her final album as like a full album rollout, I'm okay with that. For me personally, my favorite, like my top three, or my holy trinity, if you will, in this order are Britney, Blackout, and In the Zone. And I would say maybe Circus is like a Miss Congeniality or like a close contender. Glory is right after Circus to me.
I don't know. I agree with your top five, because you just gave a top five basically. And yeah, and I really like Glory too. I'm okay with that being her last. I think I'm glad that she's happy with it. And like, it is a good album. I wish that there had been more of the rollout of the vision of, like, with David LaChapelle, like, the original way it was supposed to be. But, like, that's just another example of how much they didn't let her do anything. And, like, I think it's really telling, too, of, like, how Britney's career went once the conservatorship happened. And yeah, she was definitely, like, holding back and not, you know, giving her all. So, like, she said, she's like, I was done. And, like, I love how she's like, I wouldn't whip my hair. I love that she has this huge attachment with her hair and, like, her autonomy. I love that. That's so deep. That's so spiritual. And, but, like, I think so many people don't take artists seriously. Like, you're a graphic designer. You know, people just act like logos are nothing. They don't matter. Like, all this stuff. And, like that's logos and stuff. But, like, this whole, a whole production of artistry, of like to roll out a show, to have like a Vegas production, to have you know, like all of like the posters and like the different, well, you know, the terminology and all that and whatnot, but then like add in the choreo and the costumes and all of that. Like, I think people really underestimate how much it matters to have people who are truly professional and truly good at what they do. And how Britney, the Vegas residency, went is really a reflection of, this is what happens when you don't have artists making artistic decisions.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think them controlling her artistry so much, Team Khan, that is, wasn't because they didn't agree with her strategy or that they thought her ideas wouldn't sell, because they know damn well the fans would love a Britney concept, like something from her heart, and promoted as such, we would have ate that up, everyone, even locals. But it's an assertion of power and control. It's a form of punishment, and it's a way to make sure that she doesn't retaliate too much by not letting her do too well, because then it'll look like she doesn't need them anymore, I feel. Not that she ever did, but like from their perspective, you know?
Yeah, and she even said that she's like, she felt that they didn't want her to do well. So, because then it makes it too many people are looking at, like, why does she need help then if she's doing so well? And so, yeah, 100% they intentionally sabotaged her career.
And they know, and they knew they were gonna make money anyway because her fans are so loyal and they're gonna go and support and show up, you know?
We're gonna go anyways. Yeah. I feel bad that she felt like bad that she wasn't giving to her fans, but also was just like, what do? Like, you're trying to still like honor yourself and still like fight for yourself, but it's like you can't, and then you know you're not giving to the fans. Like, she shouldn't feel bad about that at all. Like, this is an impossible position. And I mean, she made it real clear when she needed help when it really counted. So
Oh my God, I died when I read about the domination part, like the announcement. And like the way she was describing it and pointing out every visual in the backdrop, things I didn't even notice from the clip because I was too fixated on her as like a figure on stage, you know? And then she talked about how she basically walked past the cameras and she said, "I didn't perform." I still don't understand that. Like, was she supposed to perform? It didn't look like the stage was performance ready. Like, there were no dancers or props. She, like, her outfit was very much of a red carpet look.
Well, she was supposed to announce the show, is what she said. She was supposed to announce it. And she's like, I refuse because I didn't want to do it. So I wasn't going to announce it, which I didn't know. I'll admit, I thought that she wanted to do domination
Of course.
because in the footage that we saw, I thought she was into it because, like, when we saw the rehearsals for the dance numbers and stuff, it looked like she was like more into it than she had been for Piece of Me. So I was actually planning to go to that
Oh, I booked. I
residency.
booked. I got a refund, obviously, but I booked.
I booked.
Yeah, the rehearsals made it seem like she was really into it. But, you know, multiple realities can exist and people can have, you know, complex, nuanced feelings about something, you know.
I guess once you feel you're like, I don't have a choice, I have to do it, I might as well make the
Yeah,
best of it,
because
you
she cares
know.
about her artistry. She care at the end of the day, like, of course she'll have moments of rebellion. She won't whip her hair. She won't, you know, announce a show, but like I think at the core of it, she really just genuinely enjoyed doing it. The entire creative process, the physical aspect of it, the dancing, you know. But yeah, that was really interesting hearing like her perspective and like her talking about that incident because everyone felt the elephant in the room. Like it was so obvious.
Yeah, what happened here? Yeah, something was weird. I love that she just is so, will always just have like a record scratch moment. Just, whoop, we're done. Nope. Something I found interesting is how when she mentioned that she worked with Madonna on Me Against the Music, how Madonna made everything stop because she like needed something on her suit sewn, you know, fixed on her suit, and it like really halted it for hours or something. And Britney was shook by that because she wasn't even aware that that was an option. She said something like, "If I broke a heel, I wouldn't even ask production to wait 5 minutes for to fix it. I would just w do it broken or go barefoot or just I'd figure it out." That's so interesting because like you would think that if this is like the biggest star in the world, who's making all this money, that everything is going to be, maybe not everything, but like things are going to be fixed. Like, they're not going to make, they're going to, if her heel breaks, there's going to be someone to fix her heel. She's not going to just have to figure it out. Like, it really shows that from the beginning, they have used her as such a
No, also
workhorse.
humble queen. I feel like,
Humble queen, she's
yeah,
a
but in the be
workhorse.
well, during, of course she is, but like in during VMAs 2003, or you know the Me Against the Music time, I don't know. I feel like that's just kind of her work ethic, like figure it out, you
Here's
know.
okay, li no, here I'm. No, here's the thing. Britney is a humble queen, and we love that. But this is a problem of people who are genuinely humble run into of actually having all of their boundaries and just like them not taken care of.
That's very
She's
true.
Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Yeah, she shouldn't feel that she has to figure it out if her heel breaks. There should be five pairs of shoes that she want that should be ready to go for this exact thing. And somebody's job should be just that. That's the type of celebrity she was. She shouldn't have to be humble on the set of something that is her literal job. You know, it shouldn't come at Britney's expense of like figuring it out. No, she's making a ton of money for everyone. And I love that she learned that lesson from Madonna, that like Madonna making it clear that you don't have to compromise on your vision. And I think like that's what it took for Britney to make that click, because she's obviously not going to prioritize herself, but she will prioritize the vision. And understanding that if you don't set your own boundaries, if you don't make sure it's not that, you are compromising the vision.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. You're right. I think also like she shouldn't even have to demand for these things, because so people have jobs in a production and it's their job to make sure the artist is comfortable. I'm not saying pampered, but comfortable, like literally on stage doing the show or on set filming, whatever. They have to be comfortable. They have to have everything readily available. There should always be a plan B. There should...
No pun intended, but the artist's job should literally be just to be in the zone. She's there to... She's about to smash some choreo. She's about to, you know, sing. She's about to be doing all of these things. That's her job right now. Not worrying about costumes. Please. That is literally someone else's job. Who gets paid well to do it? Or should be getting paid well to do it. Like, you know, like it... Like, I'm not, like, being like, that's their job. I'm saying, like, that is literally another professional's job. That is literally, it's another task. It's another labor. It's another thing to worry about that literally it needs to be taken off their plate so they don't have to worry about it. It's unbelievable to me that Britney was that late in her career and still being treated, like, truly just like a workhorse. I love that she told us about Colin Farrell. She knew what the girls wanted. She knew what we needed.
I know you really needed that.
I really needed it. I needed it in my soul. Like, I love that she called it a 2-week brawl. She's so real for that girl. Like, oh my God. And then she's like, I went to a movie premiere with him in a pajama top. Like, that's so funny.
Iconic. Oh my God. It looked really good. She looked really good, honestly. Those pants were everything. Do you remember them? They're kind of like purplish gray pants, right?
Listen, I don't really pay attention. I didn't pay attention to either of their clothes. I was looking at both of them and how flushed they were. And what is going on with these marks all over? Like, that's where.
So let's get into our, what I'll call exiting thoughts, because we're going to revisit this in the future for sure once things marinate more. So I don't know, for me it feels like Britney is still in a journey. It doesn't feel like this is like, this book doesn't have a sense of finality. It just, there's more to her story, much more. I genuinely think we're going to get a part two.
Yeah, I definitely think she'll write a book in the future, and it will be interesting if it will feel like a continuation or if it will feel different or just, yeah. But I really love this book. I think it's so good. I think she really did cover everything she kind of quote unquote needed to cover. I don't feel that there's any parts that are missing or, you know, I'm like, oh, what about this? There's nothing where I'm like, oh, I wish she had said that or talked about this. No, because like, I mean, there's tons of things like, oh, I wonder what she thinks about this or that or what this experience was like. But it's like all just kind of more like of her artistry and stuff or like gossipy things that she probably would never talk about. I really feel like she covered all the core things. I love that Michelle Williams read it.
Oh, she was amazing. Her voice is so soothing. And her, let's say her, I don't want to say impersonation, it wasn't that, but like her acting of Britney was fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. Like, it's, you know, it's clear that it's not Britney, but like it sounds like kind of in the cadence of Britney and some of like the way Britney would say it. Like, I think she really nailed it. She also like nailed it with like her Mariah Carey impression. Again, yeah, I don't want to call it impression, but yeah, voice acting, you know. I think it's fantastic, and I totally understand why Britney didn't want to read it. I love it. I don't think it took away from anything at all having Michelle Williams read it. It sounded like Britney throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I love that it was a general reflection on her life and her artistry. I'm totally okay with that. She already, leaked a lot of information in her Instagram captions, notes app, voice notes, everything. And a lot of my friends who are about to finish the book are already asking me to like help them do a deep dive. And I'm glad that they're asking me and I'm their source so I can, show them non-BNN content. I'm definitely gonna show them or have them hear the hearing, the voicemail, the mails that she leaked on, not the voicemails, the voice notes that she leaked on Twitter, some of her captions. Like, I'm gonna show them, just like to add more context, I guess. Brittany said something really sweet to her fans in the book. Ryan, I know it was really touching for you, so it was the same for me. Do you want to read that part?
Oh yeah, it she's thanked us before on her Instagram, but I just her taking a time in this book to mention Free Britney was just amazing. And again, she starts it by just saying how she feels like that she connects with other people. She can feel people around the world. And anyway, so she says, "The same way I believe that I can sense how someone's feeling in Nebraska, I think my connection to my fans helped them subconsciously know that I was in danger. We have a connection, no matter where we are in space. Even if you're on the other side of the country or the world, on some level, we're bound up together. Fans of mine, even though I hadn't said anything online or in the press about being confined, they seemed to know. Seeing them marching in the streets chanting Free Britney, that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. I know some people laughed at it. They saw the pink t-shirts with my name on them and said, 'What kind of cause is this?' But if they really knew what I was going through and understood the connection I have with my fans, I don't think they would have laughed. The truth is, I was being held against my will. And I did long to know that people might care whether I lived or died. What do we have except our connection to one another? And what stronger bond is there than music? Everyone who spoke out for me helped me survive that hard year, and the work they did helped me win my freedom. I don't think people knew how much the Free Britney movement meant to me, especially in the beginning. Toward the end, when the court hearings were going on, seeing people advocating for me meant a whole lot. But when it first happened, that got my heart, because I was not okay, not at all. And the fact that my friends and my fans sensed what was happening and did all that for me, that's a debt I can never repay. If you stood up for me when I couldn't stand up for myself, from the bottom of my heart, thank you."
Aw.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, that's
Yeah, I bawled when I heard that part.
that
Yeah,
really gets
same.
me. Yeah, like it's still, it just like I think that's always gonna get me, and I'm so proud of the fandom. 'Cause I feel like at the core of it, that's what the objective was, is to make Britney know that we loved her, that she mattered, we cared about her, we wanted her alive, oh my gosh. And that we were gonna stand up for her and do whatever it took to get her free. And that's what she needed. And I always felt that that was our job as fans, to just let her know that there are people who care. We don't know you, no, but like we love you and you matter and we mean that. And like we did it, y'all. Like that message got through to her, and that's what helped make this all go. And
Yeah, it uplifted her and encouraged her, and I'm just so happy that like hearing this from her, because I remember at the time a lot of us felt hopeless at times. Not all the time, but there were times where we felt hopeless. But I'm glad we persevered and kept pushing and didn't let that, break our spirit, in our advocacy.
absolutely. I think the movement, I find it interesting that Britney always talks about like this debate or this contrast of head versus heart. It's always this weighing of back and forth. And to me, the Free Britney movement is just a perfect manifestation of the two coming together. It really required a lot of logic and research and like real facts and all of that, that the head aspect. Free Britney required that. but it just as much required that heart of feeling Brittany needed us, feeling that connection with her, feeling something was wrong, feeling that we could do it. It was a perfect blend, and that's what really made this work. And oh, it's just beautiful. I can't believe this.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was tough at times, but it was a really special experience. I think even for us individually as mm-hmm. as people who advocated for her, you know, I've personally learned a lot from Free Britney. I had to do a lot of internal interrogation. I had to confront a lot of things. I had to confront a lot of my personal biases as well through the Free Britney movement, and that's something I'll cherish forever. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if it would have happened had it not been for Free Britney and like the connections I've made specifically with you and the Freedom Series girlies. So yeah, no, it was a special thing, and I'm glad she acknowledged that, you know, from an outsider's perspective, like some people might feel embarrassed, or you know, their friends and families maybe like didn't take this seriously or mocked them or said that they were wasting their time, they had better things to do or whatever. But this was real for all of us. And, you know, as much as Brittany benefited, I think we all also did benefit in our own way. So yeah, I'm just really proud of her, honestly. Anyway, that was that. Stay tuned for our next episode. We're going to revisit the book and review the book. So stay tuned.